Welcome back. I'm Erin Brinker.
And I'm Todd Brinker.
And we are On the Brink, the morning show on KCAA, AM 1050, FM 106.5, and FM 102.3. I'm so pleased to welcome back to the show Dr. Joanne Yanez. She is the Executive Director for the Association of Accredited Naturopathic Medical Colleges and the Chair of the Academic Collaborative for Integrative Health. She also serves on the Integrative Health Policy Consortium Education Committee, weaving a passion for illness prevention into her professional life. Dr. Yanez's career has spanned advocacy, academia, patient care, and public health. As the AANMC's executive director, Dr. Yanez oversees research, advocacy efforts, and the joint academic endeavors of the accredited colleges of naturopathic medicine. Additionally, she helps spread awareness of naturopathic medicine as a viable and satisfying career path. Dr. Yanez, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Are you surviving this heat?
In the pool.
Yeah, because that's really the only place where you can be comfortable.
It is. California problems. I can't complain too much.
No, so. You know, every place you could, anywhere you live, there's going to be a season that's uncomfortable. It'll be too cold or too hot or too sticky or too whatever. This is our uncomfortable season. But for 9 months out of the year or 8 months out of the year, it's pretty awesome here. So we can't complain.
Yeah.
So
agreed.
So one of the challenges, and we've been talking about the 9/11 responders and, you know, some of these diseases of despair that we're seeing. So depression and suicide and drug addiction and alcoholism. And a lot of it, you know, not a lot of it, but for many people, PTSD is the driver. So some sort of trauma is the driver behind this. From a naturopathic standpoint, how do you treat that?
Oh, you know, it is so complex and comprehensive, Erin. It's estimated that about 70% of adults in the U.S. have experienced some sort of traumatic event at least once in their lives, which, you know, just swallow that for a moment.
70%.
Yeah, wow. And when you look at the military, you know, it's a huge issue, and one actually that unequally impacts women over men. 70% of the combat troops are women. However, 71% of female military personnel develop PTSD, commonly including because of the sexual assault as well as the combat. And so, you know, when you look at those numbers, it's a military issue, it's a civilian issue, and from the naturopathic approach, like we've talked about before, we take a whole person approach to things. And oftentimes, these traumatic events, you know, sometimes people will register that something is traumatic, and sometimes they won't even necessarily have processed fully the event. You know, many, many times I've heard from people, while we're getting a history and we're developing a relationship in that process of, you know, the naturopathic interview, which is extremely comprehensive, we will hear things that folks may not have fully put the pieces together. Oh, man, you know, I had this teacher in college 30 years ago who was touching my thigh inappropriately, and ever since I've felt X. Or, you know, and they may not have fully in the moment realized what was happening, but later on it starts to come to them. You know, so there's no statute of limitations on trauma.
No.
And so, you know, I think that what happens is, and that event in and of itself can become traumatizing, and reliving things and thinking about it and processing it and what could I have done differently, or, you know, what do I do about this? And so with the ND approach, we take a very whole person approach. We look to address the root cause. I remember a patient I had many years ago. She had chronic insomnia. She was in her 60s and had tried everything, acupuncture, medications, counselors, you name it, and we did an approach, kind of modified cognitive behavioral therapy, that addressed the root of the issue, which for her parents, her dad was in a cult, and she had to not only watch things, but she would also stay hyper alert at night to make sure her younger sister didn't get taken. And so,
oh my gosh,
awful. Absolutely awful. And she'd been to counselors and she'd worked through things, but the cognitive behavioral therapy helps people reframe and take the emotion and the fear out of the actual event. And she followed up the following week and shared that she'd slept for the first time through the night. And this is a woman in her 60s who experienced this in childhood. And so, you know, some of the mind-body approaches can be very helpful. You know, the other thing about PTSD, like you were alluding to earlier, is that the symptoms can manifest in a lot of different ways. There can be cardiac symptoms like, you know, heart palpitations. There can be anxiety and depression. Folks may self-medicate with pharmaceuticals or prescriptions.
Or food.
Non-prescription drugs or food or sex or whatever. And so they will use sometimes we call maladaptive coping mechanisms to deal with the stressors, you know, and ultimately suicide is that last-ditch maladaptive coping mechanism, if you want to even call it that. But, you know, I think that at the end of the day, we really look to the whole person approach and care. So there may be supplementation and maybe addressing some of the other things that are manifesting while we're getting to the root cause of the post-traumatic stress and working on some of the issues that way.
So one of the challenges in lower income communities or low income communities of poverty is that there very often are traumatic events one on top of the other. You have incarceration. You have people who frequently have to move around because they have unstable housing. There may have been homelessness. There may have been addiction, and so the kids who grow up in that environment,
food instability.
Food instability, lack of health care. Very often unstable family situations. There may be parental figures that move in and out of the child's life or not there at all. You know, there could be people in foster care and, you know, the kids going into foster care. And so, you know, how is a child who grows up in that environment, that's got to impact them forever. And how do you overcome that from a naturopathic standpoint?
Again, it is so complex and it's so individual. You know, there are people, you know, some of this, and I hate to, you know, nobody is at fault here. I don't want for one minute for any of this to be construed that, you know, a child who's being bounced in and out of foster care or someone who has been placed in circumstances that they have no control over, is at any way at fault. But there's a resiliency. And I had a mentor years ago, you know, there are a lot of euphemisms for this, but, you know, when you lose, don't lose the lesson, or when you fall, it's not about the fall, it's about the get up.
Yeah.
And so the resiliency piece of fostering a spirit of resiliency, if not, you know, we've talked about positivity before, you know, and not that any of those types of things are positive, but folks who are able to find their personal happy and who are able to create some sort of a positive out of the situation are more resilient and more able to, less able to see the negative impact. So resiliency has been studied quite a bit in the types of personalities and traits and things that foster resiliency. And in and of itself, if a person is coming to see a naturopathic doctor for conditions like this, They're obviously exhibiting that they want help,
right.
You know, or any other practitioner for that matter. They're saying they want help. So the first step is acknowledgement. The first step is saying, you know, something not so great happened, and I want to get help for this. I'm worth the help. I want to get better. And so that is the first step. You know, is just identifying it and recognizing the need for care and committing to that. So with naturopathic medicine, you know, we will focus on mind-body medicine. There may be botanical medicine. Other types of therapies like acupuncture have been used. I remember seeing a guy, you want to talk multiple traumas, he was a military vet who fell on homelessness. He got involved in some illegal activities. He was incarcerated. During his incarceration, he contracted hepatitis and HIV.
Oh, my gosh.
And so he was homeless, and he was surviving. And when he first came in, there was a huge bravado about him. He was talking about all the people he'd killed and, you know, how tough he was. And, you know, I just laid him, and he was, you know, homeless, dirty. I laid him down. I said, this is a safe place for you. I was honestly a little scared myself.
I bet.
I kept the door open just a crack. But I sat with him and I listened, and I did some acupuncture, and I left and came back to check on him, took the needles out, didn't see him again. And I figured, you know, with his housing situation, maybe he's moved or not able to get to the clinic or what have you. And I really didn't give it too much more thought. And then, you know, a few months later, my front desk person says, hey, Dr. Yana, is there somebody here to see you? They don't have an appointment. And I said, hold on a minute. I'm running in between checking on patients. And so I went to the front, and I didn't recognize anybody in the waiting room. And my front desk person said, no, come over here. This gentleman wants to talk to you. And it turns out this was a homeless man. He was clean-shaven. He got into a halfway house. And he had started counseling at boys at risk, and he wanted to come back and tell me thank you.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, you know, it's the type of thing that you never know. You know, sometimes you could see a patient for years and not get that kind of reaction, or you could, you know, or maybe all somebody needed was someone caring and showing that they cared. You know, very often in these types of situations, when you're dealing with homelessness or abuse, people feel uncared for. They don't feel safe. And, you know, creating a safe space is a very important thing. I've learned a lot of different guided imagery / hypnosis therapies over the year. And one of the first things that I do with folks, or I used to do with folks, was create a mental image of a safe place. Because as you're going to ask them to go to those places that were not safe, you want to give them a tool to be able to feel safe when they start to feel scared. And
right.
So we would create this mental safe place. Some people would bring in Jesus. Some people would bring in their teddy bear. Some people would bring in their dog. Like, it varied, and there was no judgment. Like, your safe place is your safe place. And, you know, and whatever it was that made you feel safe and secure. And so, you know, I think that there are so many different ways to approach it. Each patient's going to be different. Each patient's going to need something different. And the great thing about a naturopathic doctor's education is that we learn so many tools, and we can pull from those to find the appropriate one for the patient at that moment in time.
Wow. So we are just about out of time. How do people find and follow you and learn more about the AANMC?
Oh, boy. We're all on the interwebs. We're all on social media. So just Google AANMC and we will pop up. We have a webinar next week led by a veteran, Dr. Radley Ramden, who's going to be talking about his work with PTSD and veterans and his own journey with PTSD. And so he's a naturopathic doctor. He's a recent grad and wonderful guy, and is going to be leading our webinar next week on PTSD.
Well, Dr. Yanez, Dr. Joanne Yanez, it's always a treat to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us today. For those of you all who are interested in being a naturopathic doctor, maybe you're kind of thinking, that might be interesting. You can go to AANMC for the Association of Accredited Naturopathic Medical Colleges to get more information. Dr. Yanez, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. All right. So with that, it's time for a break. I'm Erin Brinker.
And I'm Todd Brinker.
And we are on The Brink, the morning show on KCAA. We will be right back.